For prayer. And Father, we thank you so much for today, and thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, and we ask, Lord, that you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. We pray for understanding, and we pray for encouragement from your word. In Jesus' name, bless us today, and may we not leave here the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you for coming to church today. Amen. And we have been sharing in this church about faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Faith, which the Bible says is the substance of things we hope for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Right. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's start from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start reading from verse 1. Okay, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So from this passage, we can understand that faith involves things we do not see. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we live in a world that is becoming increasingly anti-faith. The world is becoming more and more of a world that runs on evidence. If we can prove it, then it's believable. If we can see it, then it is what it is. If we can touch it, then it's real. But if we can't touch it, if we can't see it, then it is just a figment of your imagination, and chances are you are going crazy. There's something wrong with you for believing the things you believe, or for thinking the way you are thinking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Bible says to be able to walk with God, you need faith.
Amen.
So when you go down to verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen.
Amen.
So people who come to God are required by God to believe that he is, to believe that he exists. How do you believe something you don't know, or something you can't prove? That's where faith comes in. Because if you're looking for evidence of God's existence, that evidence is provided by your faith in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, faith is the substance of things you hope exist. It is the evidence of things that exist which you do not see.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is the essence of Christianity. That is the essence of walking with God, which is that you must believe that he exists. Hallelujah. And God is not the only thing that we need faith to prove, or we need faith to believe in. There are so many things around us that you have to believe, and which you need faith to believe in. Amen. So we're continuing in this study, And I think I shared with you how we're talking about a number of areas in your life where you need faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. So it looks like we're not going to go very far without having faith. The Bible says the just or the righteous or the people of God are supposed to live by faith. Hallelujah. Anything you live on or anything you depend on to live, you know, is something you need a constant supply of. Hallelujah. You need a constant supply of anything we depend on. So if the just shall live by faith, then we need a constant supply of faith. Our faith needs to be growing and our faith needs to be increasing, and we need to be confident in our faith and always applying faith in order to be able to live by it. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Wow. So God is encouraging us. Now, we talked about a number of areas. We said we need faith, number one, for our relationship with God. You need faith even to believe that you are saved. Amen. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, grace is what saves us. But faith is the channel by which you believe that you are actually saved. It is through faith. It's not because you saw anything. It's not because you felt anything. It's not because the feeling changed. It's not because you grew taller when you gave your life to Christ. It's not because you put on some weight or you became lighter when you gave your life to Christ. None of those physical things exist when people become saved. But the Bible says we are saved by grace because we are not saved by good works. Nobody can be good enough before God. Hallelujah. Our works, the Bible says, our best attempts at being righteous are as filthy rags before God. So really, it is His grace that saves us. But then it is through faith. Faith is the pipeline that connects us from as we are to the grace that saves us. Hallelujah. So you need faith to believe that you are saved. And if you believe that you are saved, then you can believe that you actually do have a relationship with God. That is the reason why we are encouraged as Christians to have a daily quiet time, to have a time with the Lord. Every Christian needs a time with the Lord on a daily basis, much like your cell phone needs a time with the charger on a daily basis. You see what I'm saying? Your cell phone needs some private times. Your cell phone needs some time where it's by itself and it is connected to its source of power just to be able to serve you and to be relevant to your life. Hallelujah. If you keep running that cell phone and running that cell phone and taking photographs and WhatsApping and, you know, Instagramming and sending text messages and just talking to everybody around the world, but never returning it to its charger to allow it to have its private time with the charger, that phone is going to shut down on you. And it won't care that you have an important appointment. It won't care that you need it on because a job you have applied for has promised to call you at 10 o'clock. The phone is just going to shut down because you didn't allow it to connect itself to the power source. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are not designed to function forever without our Maker and without the Savior who has saved us. And our connection to Him is by faith. You need to be able to sit somewhere by yourself and be in a room by yourself. And you need faith to believe that as you sit there by yourself, God is there with you. You need faith to believe that as you arrange yourself in a corner or in a small part of your house and you're there all by yourself talking or speaking into the air to an imaginary person called God. Faith is what makes all of that real. Otherwise, it becomes lunacy. You're just a human being sitting somewhere, appearing to be talking to yourself. And people who do not have faith watching you are not wrong if they are thinking there's something wrong with you. Hallelujah. So faith makes our relationship with God real. Can I have an amen? So by faith you believe that God is with you. By faith you believe that when you pray, God hears you. By faith you believe that when you commit yourself to God, He will keep you. Can I have an amen again? Right. Then we also talked last week about faith for your personal needs. Amen. You need to have faith that your personal needs can be met by God. Isn't it? And we read a verse from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, which says, "But my God shall supply all." Amen. It says, "My God shall supply all." Everybody say, "My God."
My God.
Say, "My God."
My God.
Ask your neighbor, "Do you have a God?" Hallelujah. Because if you don't have a God, then for you, we need to pause here for you to fix this. Because the rest of the scripture is not relevant to you. Hallelujah. But he's saying that if you can confidently say that you have a God, if you can say, "He is my God," and we say that by faith. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you can't tell me, how do you say you have a God when you can't see Him? You say, "That's why I need faith. That's why I have faith." Because faith is the hard copy, is the substantial part of the thing that I cannot see. It's what I stand on to make something I can't see look real and feel real and feel relevant to my current day existence. Can I have an amen? Wow. So he said, "But my God shall supply." That means God intends to keep a steady flow of things into your life. God intends to be your supplier. Hallelujah. A supplier is someone you have identified who is the source or a constant source of provision for you for any particular thing. Hallelujah. So if you have someone who supplies your water, he brings water to your house all the time. If he supplies pizza to your house, he brings pizza on demand. Hallelujah. He just brings it and keeps bringing it. Now, the Bible says, "My God shall supply." Then it says, "He will supply all." Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, "He'll supply all." Now do this so you get a feeling that you're talking about all. Say, "My God shall supply all." Right. Yeah. However you depict all, try. Everybody try. Show me all. Everybody show me all. All. Say all. All right. Now say, "My God shall supply all." Right. To the exclusion of none.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, all of what? All your need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the thing has to do to be included in God's supply list is to show up as a need in your life. "My God shall supply all your need." All your need. Anything you need, God can and will supply it. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Every Christian must believe that God is interested enough in your life to to be a supplier of all the needs that present with your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I believe that God is going to supply our need as a church. God is going to supply my needs. Every need I have, God is going to supply it. God is going to supply your financial needs. God will supply it. God will supply your tuition. God will supply what it takes to pay your rent. God will supply a car, your need for a car. God will supply your need for scholarships. God will supply your need for intelligence. God will supply your need for a job. God will supply your need for good grades. God will supply. God will supply. Amen. Those who need to get married, God is going to supply that too. He's going to supply the person to marry, and going to supply the means to marry the person, and going to supply when to marry the person as well. Can I have an amen? Don't you love such a God? You should love such a supplier, because most suppliers don't supply all. Most suppliers do not supply all your need. Can you show me any one supplier who supplies all your need? There is no such supplier who supplies all your need. God supplies all your need. Tangible needs, intangible needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. Some of your needs are not material. That is the truth. Not everybody needs money. Not everybody needs a job. See, when you are in need of something, you kind of feel everybody has that need. Do you see? When you're broke, you feel everybody's broke. But not everybody is broke. Not everyone is doing so poorly. Hallelujah. But God supplies all our needs. And many times our needs are not needs we can even explain to another person. Sometimes you can't even capture it yourself. You need someone who knows you well enough to be able to identify and recognize that need even from a distance. And only God can be that to you. Hallelujah. Only God knows you thoroughly and knows you through and through enough to know what is a need for you before you even call it a need. Hallelujah. And God knows all our needs, and He has promised to supply, including our need for encouragement. Including our need to keep going. Our need to keep going. Just the fuel to wake up on a day-to-day basis and to keep yourself going and to keep yourself functioning and to keep believing and to keep trusting and to keep hoping and to keep believing that it shall be well with you. You need God to supply that need. And God says He will. And He will do it. Thank God that our supply is not according to our resources or according to our abilities, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, God says, I will supply all your needs. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, God showed to us, or God, the first token God gave us of His commitment to our needs is when He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He who did not hold back His only begotten Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. He is telling us that if God cared enough to give us His only begotten Son, hallelujah. See, let me read that verse with you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. The Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Can you see that?
Yeah.
Can we read it together, please? Everybody, one, two, three. Oh, do you have that verse? It says, He that spared not His own Son. Is everything okay? Okay, well, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. God is appealing now to your little sense of reasoning and logic. And God is saying that, look, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Amen. What God is asking is, if someone can care enough about you to give you $100, how shall he not give you $2? If someone cares enough about you to give up his only begotten son to save you, how shall he not freely give you everything else? Because there is nothing more precious or more valuable than God's only begotten son. Hallelujah. So that alone gives us a good foundation for having faith in God meeting our needs. Amen. So tell your neighbor, I believe that God will meet all your needs. Hallelujah. I believe that God will meet all your needs. Amen. All right. Now, one more point today. We need to have faith for achieving our goals and overcoming the challenges that come with them. Amen. We need to have faith, or we need faith to be able to achieve our goals and overcome the challenges that come with them. Amen.
Amen.
Now, every human being needs a goal at every stage in your life. You need something you're working towards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you have something you're working towards, it propels you, you know, to keep moving. That is the reason why when little kids are learning how to walk, you know, they are crawling and they are crawling and they are crawling. Then comes a day when they kind of feel enough energy or strength in their legs and they want to try standing up. Now, when they stand up, they want to walk. But then what the mother of the baby does is the mother holds something and stands somewhere and says, walk towards this. And when the baby keeps their eye on whatever the mother is holding, they begin to take steps, and they begin to take steps, and they begin to take steps. In other words, the goal provides motivation for walking. And it is the goal that actually brings out of them the skill and the ability to walk which God has placed in them. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So when you do not have a goal, you do not have anything that draws out of you some of the great potential and some of the great skills and blessings that God has placed in you.
Amen.
That is why the scripture says, where there is no vision, my people perish. Or the people perish when there is no vision. Hallelujah. So God wants us to have a vision all the time. God wants you to have a goal. God wants you to have something you're working towards all the time. It can be your spiritual goal. It can be any physical or natural goal. Something like even starting a business or achieving something for yourself or improving your grades or doing something related to school. Even going back to school can be a goal. Hallelujah. But whatever that goal is, you're going to discover that as you walk towards it, no goal comes free. Hallelujah. You're going to find out that every vision you have is surrounded by things that are designed to keep you away from it. Hallelujah. Every vision is like a rose flower. It looks beautiful from a distance, but when you approach it, you realize to pick it, you have to overcome a lot of thorns. There are little things that will prick you as you try to get that rose flower. So many things are like that. And you need faith for overcoming those obstacles. Hallelujah. Because if you do not have faith, you're going to stand behind those obstacles and you'll be staring at your dream and staring at your vision, and whatever it is you have set before you, you'll be standing in front of it and staring right at it and not be able to access it because your lack of faith has kept you overcome by the challenges that come with achieving that goal. Hallelujah. So God wants you to have faith. And so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Wow. Amen. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to have faith that enables you to say, I can do it. Amen. God wants you to have faith that makes you tell yourself, I can do it.
Amen.
I can do it. I can do it. Because we are all wired with a tendency to say, no, I can't. I can't. Our normal default response to challenges is, no, I can't. No, I can't. But God wants us to have faith.
Amen.
And when you have faith in God, you can say, yes, I can.
Amen.
Because I can do all things. Everybody say, I can.
I can.
Say, I can.
I can.
Say, I can.
I can.
Say, I'm talking about me. Tell your neighbor, I'm talking about me, not you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, I can.
I can.
He says, I can.
I can.
Now add the next word. Say, I can do.
I can do.
I can do it.
I can do it.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Yeah. Then add the next one. Say, I can do all.
I can do all.
Yeah. Think about how many things you've been trying to do.
Wow.
God is expecting you to say, I can do all. I can do all. No matter how long the list is, no matter how complicated it appears, God wants you to have an attitude towards it that says, I can do all. I can do all. I can start my own business. I can do it. I can stay pure as a Christian. I can do it. I can do it. I can live without being addicted to or tied to pornography and dirty pictures on the internet. Say, I can do it. Well, he said I can do all. All must include things like that. What do you think? All means all. Means I can stay pure. Means I can break my habits. It means I can stop drinking alcohol. I can stop ruining my life. Means I can stop it. I can do it. He said, I can do it. I can do all things, and it's through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The problem in the world today is people who are trying to do all things but without Christ. Now, if you're trying to do all things but without Christ, then I'm not sure about that one. Hallelujah. But over here, the Bible says, through Christ and the strength that he supplies to your life, you can do all things. Hallelujah. Now let me just read one final passage with you before I close this morning. Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. We read the story of the people of Israel who have been promised a special place by God. Numbers chapter 13. And so Joshua was supposed to lead these people. These people were supposed to be led. Was supposed to lead these people to this land. So Moses selected some people to go spy out the land and go check out the place to see what it is like. Okay, so we're reading, let's start reading from maybe about, all right, let's start from verse 17. It says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Hallelujah. Now, is it not interesting how the land that the Lord has promised the people actually belongs to someone else?
Wow.
That is the reason why doing anything comes with challenges.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Because most things have a challenge in it. There is nothing that just comes to you without a fight.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Amen. Our church has just started. It comes with challenges.
Wow.
It comes with overcoming obstacles and overcoming things. Otherwise, you just close down. You just shut the whole thing down. Amen. You come to church on one day and there'll probably be nobody here. And you say, it's no longer a church. Hallelujah. You say, it's no longer a church. But you need to have faith that an obstacle doesn't mean it's not yours. Hallelujah. An obstacle doesn't mean it's not yours. A challenge or a difficulty doesn't mean you can't have it. Hallelujah. It's just the way it comes. Amen. Is it not interesting how most nuts come in a shell? Just because the nut is in a shell doesn't mean it's not meant for you to eat it. It is for you. And you're supposed to eat it. But it is designed with a shell. So now you need to have a shell overcoming power to be able to eat and taste any nuts. Hallelujah. So every nut you see is something that was once in a shell, but which has been overcome by someone. Amen. And there are people who have built whole factories just for overcoming the shells of nuts. Hallelujah. And when you overcome it, the good thing is often hidden in the shell. And people who stop behind the shell never taste the good things that God has for them. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. If we want to see a great church one day, we will. But the church is in a shell. Amen. And God wants people who are hard enough to crack shells. Because a lot of shells are hard. You need to hit it hard with something. And then at a point it just splits in two. And here will you find your nuts. Hallelujah. And so these people were going to a place that the Lord had promised them. And the Bible said the land was already occupied by some people. Yeah, because it's not free. Amen. But it didn't mean that God hadn't given it to them. Alright? So it says in verse 19, and see what the land is, that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and you know, they traveled through all those places. Verse 23, they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto the congregation, and showed them the fruits of the land. And they told him, verse 27, we came to the land whither thou sentest us. That means we came to the place where you sent us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. In other words, this is the evidence that the land is a great place. This is the proof that where we're going is a great place. This is the proof that what you're asking us to do is not a mistake. It is the right thing. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Then they continue. They say, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. Amen. These guys went to the land and they saw that the land was good. They even brought a cluster of grapes with them as proof that this is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it's a luxurious place to live. Hallelujah. And when they come back, they start talking about the good of the land, but just for a short time, then they shift their focus and they start to talk about the negatives of the land. They start to talk about the shell. They start to talk about the difficulties, the challenges that are involved in entering the place that God has ordained for them. They start to talk about all the things they have to overcome. They start to talk about the people they have to deal with. They talk about the applications that have to be written. They have talk about the places that have to be that they have to go to, where they have to take their resumes, and how they don't even have a resume yet. You know, they talk about how they don't have a car to drive and go to the place. They talk about the distance and the traffic they saw on the way to the place. You know, and they talk about the neighborhood and who lives there, and they saw people walking up and down the streets in hoodies, and they were very scary people. And they talk about so many different things that are not the grapes that they saw in the place. They brought the grapes from the place as proof that this is a place where we can do well. But shortly after they got to Moses who sent them, they just put the grapes somewhere and forgot all about the grapes. And they said, now Moses, let's talk about reality. Let's talk about who lives there. We saw some giants there. The sons of Anak were there. And we saw it's a land that, you know, when you hear the people talk, they said the Jebusites live, or the Amalekites live in the south. So down is our mount. Then it says, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they live in the mountains, maybe in the north. So that's also out. Then they said, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, you know, and by the coast of Jordan. So that side is also out. Hallelujah. And then Caleb, who was one of the people, he stilled the people before Moses. He was also there. He saw all the same things. And he said, you guys, shut up. The Bible says he stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, verse 31, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. You see, when we are afraid of things, we begin to exaggerate even what it takes to overcome, or even the challenges that have to be overcome. Sometimes when you hear some people talk, about something they don't want to do. You can see that even the reasons they are giving for not doing it are exaggerated. The reasons are blown out of proportion. You realize the people are trying to magnify the reason and make it as big as it can possibly get so that they don't have to even take that challenge on at all. Hallelujah. How could you come back and in one breath say that the Jebusites live here and the Amorites live here and the Hittites live over there and the sons of Anak are there, and then in the next breath say that this is a land that eats up in the inhabitants? If the land was eating up the inhabitants, then there would be nobody there. Isn't it? How come the Hittites live there even though the land eats up the inhabitants? Hallelujah. So he says that the land eats up the inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And then it says, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, we looked at ourselves, we looked down on ourselves, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Wow. And so were we in their sight. Many times the problem is how our own estimation of who we are and what we can do. Wow. And once you underestimate yourself, nobody owes you an overestimation of yourself. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody will buy you for more than you say you are worth. When is the last time you went into a store and found a shirt or whatever it is with a label, a price on it, and you took it to the counter and to the teller where they pay for the stuff, and you asked the person, can you put a little bit more on it? When you go to Walmart and you pick a gallon of juice and you get to the counter, you know, and they scan it and it says it's $3.50. Why don't you say $3.50? Is that all? I want to pay $5. Who does that? Rather, you have people fighting with the teller to say that, look, the label over there said it was $2. I'm not paying $3.50 for it. We're rather looking for discount. People, even what you say you are worth, people want you to reduce it. And they want to bring it down. Nobody is going to put a value on you more than what you say you are worth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So no wonder the people said, well, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We presented ourselves as grasshoppers. And so they also took us for grasshoppers, and we became grasshoppers in their sight. Hallelujah. So God wants you to have faith. Amen. And have confidence in your abilities and have confidence in who he has made you. Amen. And to hold yourself out as someone who can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. That you can do it. That God is on your side. God will strengthen you, and whatever door God has opened for you, you can walk through it and possess the things that God has for you in that place. Amen. Hallelujah. That is why we shouldn't look down on our church. That's why we shouldn't look down on ourselves because we're just beginning. That's why we shouldn't look down on ourselves because we have just a few people. We shouldn't look down on what we are doing just because it's a few people doesn't mean it's not a good church. Yeah. It's not the number of people that determines whether it's a good church or not. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible talks about a man having made a great feast. I think it's in Luke chapter 16 or so. It says, a certain man made a great feast and he bade many or invited many people. You know, then the Bible says when the time of the feast came, he sent and invited to tell all the people who had been invited. He sent to tell them, come, because all things are ready. The food is ready. And then the people began to make excuse. Hallelujah. So in the end, nobody came to the feast. But the Bible calls it a great feast.
Wow.
Hallelujah. So just because people didn't come doesn't mean that the feast was not great.
Wow.
It was a great feast. It's just that the people who didn't come, the people who were invited, did not come to the feast.
Yeah.
But the feast was a great feast. So you can have a great feast and yet people may not come to it. But that doesn't mean it's not great. It's a great feast. And later on when they turn their attention towards some other people, that same great feast was well patronized. The whole house was full because a different group of people had been invited to the feast. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is not the invitations, it is not the patronage that determines whether the feast is great or not.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Sometimes you're a great person, but you'll be rejected by many people. But the fact that they are rejecting you doesn't make you any less great. It is their inability to see greatness. That's probably the problem. The inability to recognize a good person, the inability to see greatness in a person, the inability to recognize that this person is exceptional, this person is unique, because not all people can see uniqueness and greatness, especially when it's just body. I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Not all people can see something that is great when it's just beginning. Most people recognize greatness when everybody else says it's great already. But there are some smart ones who get in before everybody else. And they can see it and they pick it up. Here in Hollywood, there are people who specialize in recognizing potential in people. There are people who specialize in giving people a break. There are people who specialize in finding talents and finding people and finding them when they are nobodies. And they pick those people up and they make them great and make millions of dollars on those people. Hallelujah. Yeah, they prop them and then they get them up and they prep them up and they teach them things and they present them to the world for a lot of money. Hallelujah. So sometimes you may not be chosen or selected, not because you're not good, but because the person you're dealing with doesn't have the ability to recognize greatness. Hallelujah. And instead of being discouraged, and instead of telling yourself, nobody wants me, instead of telling yourself, I'm not good for anything, instead of telling yourself, here I go again, I'm just a reject. Instead of thinking that way about yourself, you need to believe that you are who God has made you. And at the appropriate time, when the appropriate person finds you, the appropriate person is going to choose you because of who God has made you. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. The man made a great feast and he invited many people, but the people turned the invitation down. The feast was great, but the people didn't come. Hallelujah. Amen. So patronage is not proof of greatness or the lack thereof. Hallelujah. But greatness is greatness. And many of us here today are great people. Many of us have been blessed with skills, with talents, with potential, with abilities. You know, even just the way you are, sometimes even the ideas that occur to you. Amen. And sometimes you when you share your ideas with people and they laugh at you, it doesn't mean that you have bad ideas, but rather that you are sharing with the wrong people. Because when you are surrounded by people who do not see or who don't have a mind that embraces bright ideas, your ideas can look stupid. And yet they are not. It's the people that are making your ideas look that way. Hallelujah. So when you change your company and start to be with the right people, you begin to see that some things that were trampled on by others, you know, are actually celebrated in a different place. Jesus told us not to cast our pearls before swine. Otherwise, the swine will trample on them. Pearls are pearls. But if you cast them before the wrong people, they'll trample on the pearls. But if you bring them to the right people, the pearls will be worn, they will be decorated, they will be celebrated, they'll be in the right place. Hallelujah. Because the pearl is the pearl. It's not the swine that are defining this. Hallelujah. The swine can give it a new look because of the way they are treating it. But when you bring it to the right place and to the right people, it will have its right look, and you'll be celebrated and you'll be recognized as such. Can I have an amen? Amen. So say, I can do all things. Give me back that verse. Say, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close today. Amen. Wow. Did you learn something? You want this? I can help you get it. Amen. Right. I want us to take a moment to pray just before we close. You know, just bow your heads, everybody, and think about all the things you have sought to do that you have not been able to do. Think about the things you have tried to do but which you didn't do because of fear. You were just afraid that it wouldn't work. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? What if I fail? The guys we read about went to the land that God gave them, and they came back with what the Bible calls an evil report. An evil report. An evil report. Anytime God's people step out of operating in faith, they enter what the Bible calls evil. That's why the Bible says we must be careful of an evil heart of unbelief. Because unbelief turns your heart into an evil heart. Anytime we're not operating in faith, we're operating in sin. If we're not operating in faith, we're operating in evil. And the Bible says these guys brought an evil report. And the evil report is in what they said, is in focusing on the negative things in the place where God has appointed for them, instead of focusing on the grapes that were there, instead of focusing on the fact that the land did indeed flow with milk and honey. They came back and shifted their focus from the cluster of grapes and stayed their focus on the difficulties and the challenges and what it takes, what they have to go through to get to the place where God has appointed for them. Are you one of those people who is being stopped by what it takes to enter what God has appointed for you? If you're one of those, I believe today's message is for you. God is speaking to you, and God is telling you, you can do it. You can do it. God is saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, you can walk in love. Yes, you can forgive that person. You can do it through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, you can live a consistent Christian life through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, you can go to church every single Sunday. You may not see that in yourself. You may not see yourself being able to do that. Being able to go to church. How? Why would I even go to church every single Sunday? But you can through Christ who strengthens you. You can. You can do it through Christ. Yes. You can be wiser with the spending of your money through Christ who strengthens you. You can start that business, that idea that occurred to you, that everybody else is toying with and everyone thinks it's a foolish idea. You can actually pursue it and go ahead with it and do something great out of it through Christ who strengthens you. This church we can build. We can build this church through Christ who strengthens us. And so I want you to take a moment and pray concerning whatever that thing is in your life that you have belittled, or concerning which you have belittled yourself and your abilities. And today you are saying, Lord, I thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for speaking to me, because now I believe I can. I believe I can. I can do it. I can do it because you will help me to do it. I can do it because you will help me to do it. There may be some of you who are trying to give up on some of the courses you're taking at school, and you are just thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's too much for me. It's too hard for me. I'm not cut out for this. But God is saying, you can do it. You can do it through Christ who strengthens you. There may be some of you who may be struggling with a relationship today, and you're just about to give up because it's been so tough and it's been so difficult. But God says, yes, you can. You can do it. The Bible says there is no temptation that overtakes any of God's people, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. But he will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. That is what God has promised. God is able. God is able. God is able. And you can do it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Finally, I want to pray for you, or pray with you this morning. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be sure that if I die today, I will go to heaven. I want to be sure that Jesus is Lord over my life. If you're here and that is your prayer, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly, and I'm going to pray for you. Just stand where you are, but just raise up your right hand quietly, and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Just keep that hand up. Also, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I have given my life to Christ, but I've not been serious in my walk with God. I have not been serious. I've been falling left and right. Sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm off. I'm not consistent. Sometimes I am backsliding and I go into all kinds of things that I shouldn't be doing. But today I want to give it one more try, and I want to try this again. You also raise up your right hand quietly. Just join us in prayer. I'm going to pray for you. If you're saying, I want to be serious with my walk with God, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you also. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Say, Lord Jesus, be Lord over my life. I want to walk with you like a true child of God. I want to be serious. I want to be serious. I want to be serious about my relationship with you. But I know I can't do it on my own. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to help me. I need you to lift me up. I need you to strengthen me and encourage me. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you for everyone who said this prayer with meaning. I pray, Lord, that you bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you reveal yourself to them, that you will encourage them, surround their lives with people who point them in the right direction where you are concerned. I pray, Father, that you will establish them in the word of truth and that you will bless them indeed. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.